Aren't you glad we serve a God who is holy and righteous, faithful and true to every generation? I marvel at His grace, and I rejoice in His faithfulness to our hearts this week and even this morning. Such a wonderful sense of God's presence here in this service. And I believe He has something for us. He wants to work and accomplish something that will last for eternity. Isn't that wonderful? Do something for us personally and for this church that'll last for eternity. We serve a great God. Great God. I'm inviting you to look into the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Hebrews, chapter 9. So enjoyed the songs in this morning's worship service. There were just a number that went right along with the thought, a number of the words and the phrases and the truth that was presented that go along with the message that I feel upon my heart. May God speak to us from His Word. I'm inviting you to stand. We'll start with verse 1. I'm going to ask you to help me this morning. I don't know if your pastor ever does this or not. I do it occasionally, especially on Sunday mornings in our congregation. I ask you to help with the reading of God's Word. We read responsibly. So I would ask you to help us this morning. We'll start with verse 1, read down through verse 14. I will read verse 1, and then you as a congregation will read the following verse, and we'll just rotate back and forth. Let's listen to the Word of God from Hebrews chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. But Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, which through offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A better sacrifice. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, holy is thy name. Thou alone art able this morning to receive our praise and our worship that has already been rendered unto thee. We thank you that you are here. You know our needs as we have assembled. Here are people who love you, and yet there are needs among us, spiritual needs. We're glad for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We're glad for the visitation of the Holy One already. We're glad that we could sing this morning, "It is well with our soul." But maybe there's one or two that are here today that really can't sing from their heart, "It is well." They have no assurance. They need the blood applied. Speak to us. May your Holy Spirit speak through us. Oh God, give us victory. Allow your perfect work to be accomplished in your will, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice a few more verses later on in the chapter. Verse number 22, you find that most common phrase, "without the shedding of blood is no remission or no forgiveness." In verse 24, "For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Verse 26, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Verse 28, "So Christ once offered," one time, "to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin and to salvation." As I read in John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 29, John the Baptist looks and beholds Jesus coming unto him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The account of the fall of man is one of the most sad, is one of the saddest chapters in the Bible. Man was blessed with the pristine beauty of the Master Creator. Man was created in the image of God without sin. Adam and Eve knew no sin. The choice to partake of forbidden fruit severed that holy fellowship with God. Men and women, I come to remind you that sin still keeps us from that wonderful fellowship and communion with the Holy God. What stood between man and God in that sad hour still keeps men and women from their God in this day. To the problem of sin, there is a salvation offered. Redemption, yes. Bringing man back to God is heaven's true desire. The hope of the coming Redeemer is reflected all through the Old Testament, based on the promise of the coming seed of the woman who will bruise the serpent's head. Read on and hear how Brother Job, in the midst of his affliction, proclaims, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Yes, men and women, this morning I come to report to you the hope of the New Testament believer is the coming Messiah. From the Old Testament system of sacrifices for redemption is received by the shedding of blood. Adam's guilt was atoned for by blood, inferred from the fact that God clothed them with skins, evidently of slaughtered animals. Abel's accepted offering was one of blood, while Cain's rejected offering was bloodless. It was the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorposts of the Hebrew people in Egypt that protected them from the death angel. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The essential part of every offering of the Levitical system is the blood. Now the Hebrew writer declares, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Men and women, I come to you this morning to remind you that the hope that we have of heaven is based solely upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We live in a church world that is calling men and women to good works. They're calling men to reformation. Some declare we need to turn over a new leaf. But I declare to you on the authority of God's Word that the hope that we have and the message that we have to share this morning is that Jesus Christ is the sacrifice for man's sin. His blood was shed that you and I might know life in this world and in the world to come. I like that old song in our book, "What Can Wash Away My Sin?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. It is still the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Then the songwriter declares, this is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I enjoyed the offertory that was given one night this week on the fountain. The fountain. Yes, I like that old hymn in our book. I don't know what page it is, but I like the call to the fact of the one who offered himself. It echoes the Old Testament statement that is made that there is a fountain open in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus offered himself and his blood was shed to deal with the sin issue in my heart and in your heart and in your life? Oh, praise God. The sacrifice that was offered provides redemption. Notice verses 11 and 12. Christ being come a high priest. There's a contrast that is given to us here. When the writer of the Hebrews is speaking to us of the need, and in that generation in their day, he was speaking to them that the Judaism way of worship was now in the past, when the veil was rent in twain. Direct access was made to the throne room of God. And now we, through Christ, have access to the atoning blood of the Lamb. Christ being come a high priest of good things by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. He speaks of the Old Testament system of the blood of goats and of calves. But he says, by the blood of Christ, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Then John declares, John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Aren't you glad he took your sins away this morning? I like that song in our book. He took my sins away. He took my sins away. And he keeps me singing, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. And ye know he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He is the better sacrifice, the sinless Son of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Recently I've studied through, as a matter of fact, preached a series of messages through the book of Ephesians. The more I studied that little book, the more I loved it. One of the very first themes that I find presented is in Christ. Paul says, in Christ, in Christ. That is his theme. And often as he is opening his remarks in one of those little books to the churches, he'll say, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Men and women, if we ever get too far from the cross and from the blood, we need to go back and spend a few moments at Calvary. One of the dangers of serving God over years of time is we begin to feel pretty good about who we are and what we have done, or maybe what we've given, or the things that we have offered to our Lord as a life of service in His name. But I want to declare to you this morning, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, take me back to Calvary. Because of the blood of Jesus, I am standing before my God with nothing between my soul and the Savior. The message that we have to share is the message of the cross and the blood that was shed, providing redemption. Your pastor mentioned this morning of the many people gathering across the country, around the world, for worship on a Sunday morning. I wonder how many are still in darkness of sin. We're a privileged people this morning. If you can sing that song, "It is well with my soul. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul." If that is truly the witness and the testimony of your heart this morning, you need to count yourself blessed and privileged, because there's multitudes of men and women gathering for some form of worship that have no conscience, a witness, no assurance that Jesus is mine. That blind lady said, "Oh, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Can you say that this morning? Can you say that? Can you rejoice? Does the wellspring of your soul begin to flow over when you realize that I, among the 6 billion plus people in this world, can declare without any hesitation whatsoever that I know the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has been applied to my heart, and now I have been made clean? We're blessed. We're blessed. You wonder why sometimes when we begin to lift in those songs, there's a tear that begins to fall on a brother or sister's cheek. Or maybe there's a voice that begins to lift and someone says, "Hallelujah, I think I heard your pastor rejoicing a little bit this morning as he was lifting together in those songs. I looked across this congregation and I watched some hands going up. I watched some people who were beginning to say, 'I'm identifying with the truth.' In that old Charles Wesley hymn, there were several lines in that hymn. Did you notice about the blood? Why? Because when we realize our standing before God now is right, we are just before Him. No longer does our sin separate us. We have reason to rejoice. Amen. We have reason in our heart to begin to rejoice in the promises and the provision of the blood of Christ." I noticed as we read this scripture this morning, he said the priest in the Old Testament, the high priest, had to go again and again and again. Did you notice that? I believe in full salvation, men and women. How about you? I do. I believe the Bible clearly teaches there is an experience of grace that'll lift the sin out of our heart and cause us to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. We're on a new pathway. It's toward the city of God, and the redeemed are walking with us. And thank God, we know that we know that we know that we have been born again. Jesus, the blood of Jesus, Notice Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If you know that you're forgiven this morning, you can rejoice in the provision of Calvary and the blood that was shed. I'd secondly like to suggest to you that this better sacrifice is a redemption that brings purity. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, one of my favorite verses when it comes to thinking and preaching about holiness. The word says, who gave himself for us, and it's referring to Christ. If you read the previous verses, it's referring to Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. Bring us back. Bring us back. We were lost. Once I was lost in sin, the songwriter said, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me. To redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. A peculiar people. Do you ever feel like you're a stranger in this world? Do you? I told you earlier in the week that I do some sub-bus driving. Right out there with rubbing shoulders with the elementary and the middle school kids on our route. I've drove that route now for 7 weeks. The driver got suspended and I'd been working as a sub and they said, we want you to take the route. Will you do that for us? I said, well, I've got several things in my schedule as a pastor and they come first and one of them is a revival meeting. And I'm not going to change that. So if you can find somebody to drive while I'm off, that's fine. Oh, no problem. We want you to do it. Well, I've been having some physical issues, and maybe I'll go into the hospital and have a surgery. You know, I listed three excuses that I knew about. And they still said, we want you to drive it. I said, okay. Got to know some of these kiddos, kids like Bradley and Alicia and Christina, Jasmine and Dylan. When we arrive at the school about 7:05 in the mornings, we have to wait 15 minutes before we unload the middle school students. And the breakfast kids get off and then we wait for the rest of them. And there's 10 or 12 kids left on my bus and so we get a chance to talk. And I've been very careful. I've not declared to any of them that I'm a pastor. Although I discovered that one of the young girls has come in through our bus outreach and noticed back there one Sunday, I wanted to use the illustration that connected with her life. It's a good thing I didn't because I finally recognized who was there. I'd have been oh so embarrassed. But as we share, we get to know each other a little bit and they come up and they find out that we can be friends and still keep the rules and, you know, keep order on the bus. And one of them said to me, he said, we like you. I told him I was going to be away for about 7 days. And they said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm just going to go be in southern Indiana with some friends for a while. And, oh, we don't want you to leave. And old Bradley, he's about a sixth grader. And he come up and he laid his head on my shoulder. I said, Bradley, don't do that. Got to be careful, you know. He said, we don't want you to leave. We like you. You're nice to us. We like you better than Mr. Rich. He was my bus driver last year. He cussed at us. I said, wow. Here we got rules. The kids are not supposed to use language. And then the teachers and the bus drivers are using language. I looked right at him and I said, guys, I want to tell you. Even though I may have to get firm with you occasionally and tell you to sit down when you want to stand up and ask you to do this and that, and I try to be as polite as I can, but there's times we have to get firm. I said, you'll never hear this fella cuss. Why? Because God has cleaned up my heart and I don't use that kind of language. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? Sometimes we forget as holiness people how blessed we are because of the effects of the blood of Jesus that has been applied to our hearts. He cleans us up on the inside and therefore we live a clean life on the outside. I can't imagine living the impure, wicked lifestyles that people all around us are living in day after day. I can't even begin to imagine how some folks swim through the sewage of their lives. this culture is so vile and so wicked and so perverted, but the blood of Jesus Christ can take that heart, though it's vile and dark and wicked, and clean that heart up and give them a new song and help them to live a life that is holy and righteous before God. I don't know any computer technician that can do that. I don't know if you can make spiritual robots out of us, men and women. The blood of Jesus can clean us up and make us an individual that's a wonderful person to be around. I've heard men and women testify how they lived before they found the Lord, how ashamed they were of the way that they lived. But the moment that they sought the blood of Jesus to save them and to sanctify them and to clean them up, they became a new creature, and the language went out and new language came in, and the songs of the world were no longer their songs. They enjoyed singing the songs of the church. People who said, I don't want to go to church and I'm not interested in that stuff, now love to go to God's house. What a change! It's all because of the blood. Hallelujah! I feel a little bit like the Apostle Paul when he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's good news. It's good news. It brings good things. It brings good results. And it gives us a right standing with God. What's the answer for our impurities in this hour? It's the blood of Jesus. I've met far too many people across our movement who want to hand a rule book before the heart's been changed. You know, men and women, we're just fighting a losing battle. We can't reform people. God has to transform them. The blood of Jesus must clean them up and make them an individual who is holy and righteous. Our God is a righteous God, and He'll have a righteous people. And when He gets us to a place that we're willing, under old-fashioned conviction, to confess our sin and do true biblical repentance and turn from our wicked ways, then we will be a people who no longer have to be reformed because we're transformed. Oh, hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Titus 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I like 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I don't see any reformation in that statement, do you? It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. Redemption in this better sacrifice, the Scripture says, is purchased by precious blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For we were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Aren't you glad for that blood this morning that was offered for our sin? It was precious blood. It cost God, the Father, His only Son, a pure sacrifice, holy, righteous. It cost God the very best that He had to offer, the blood that was shed. We're getting close to Easter. I love Easter time. Do you? As I was preparing for this meeting, I entertained the thought of just preaching themes, just preparing you for Easter. But I just couldn't feel like that was proper. Didn't feel led that way by the Lord. But I started a few weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, in our church, Mark chapter 15, preaching the themes that lead up to Easter. It was on a Tuesday morning. back in June of last year, Tuesday morning of youth camp, around 5 o'clock in the morning, as I was studying and reading, having my personal devotions, reading through the Gospel of Mark, and came into chapter 15, and God began to open His Word, and I love it when it works this way. And verse after verse after verse began to speak to my heart, the precious Lamb of God, what He suffered, what He endured for my sin to be washed away. I quickly found a piece of paper, and I began to write one text after another until I had at least 15, just from Mark chapter 15. As I have been preaching the last few weeks, preparing my people for Easter, I've come to a greater appreciation that God the Father would give His Son, subject Him to the cruel, cruel, wicked hands of merciless men in this world. Allow Him to be crucified. God the Father looks the other way. Let me tell you, friend, it costs God the best to provide for your redemption and for my redemption. It was a few years ago in a revival meeting, something like this. I watched a miracle and witnessed a miracle that I think is a miracle of a lifetime. Brother Stephen Cassidy was our evangelist. Some of you probably know Stephen and Nicole. They do a wonderful job in ministry and evangelism. We'd been through a meeting. I assume it was a Tuesday through Sunday. I don't remember so clearly. It's been at least 4 years ago now. I believe it was in 06. It was one of those meetings that you kind of wished more would have happened. You know, you're coming to the close and there's not really been a freedom of the Spirit and a sense of God's moving in an unusual way. And we often go into revival meetings with great expectations. As a pastor, I set those expectations pretty high. But let me tell you what I had nearly given up on. Was a 93-year-old man in our congregation who lived as clean a life as anyone could ever live. Woodrow Wilson is his name. He was named after one of our U.S. presidents. Woodrow was a very thin, lanky fella, healthy appeared, had heard some of the best preachers all down through the years. At one time, L.W. Barbie was his pastor back in the 1950s. Most of you would recognize that name, Brother Barbie. I would sit and visit with Mr. Wilson, and he would tell me of listening, and this guy had an incredible mind at 93. He could recite so many things that had happened in his lifetime. Tell me of listening to Charlie Wireman and old Brother Fawcett and some of those great men that he knew. And yet Woodrow never made a move toward God. That puzzled me. As a boy, I heard men preach about crossing the deadline. And I wondered if Woodrow was one of those fellows. I don't remember what was preached that Saturday night of that revival meeting. Our family sat over here on this side of the church, about the second or the third pew back. I was standing out along the aisle when the invitation was given. I don't remember who all moved that night. But I remember standing there and hearing a commotion over here on this side of the church. And Mr. Wilson said, clear back there in the back. And I heard a commotion. I try not to be a distraction in any way, but there was so much noise. I was trying to figure out what was going on. And I looked, and here's an aged man who's got a hold of his wife's hand, and they're walking hand in hand to an altar of prayer. numbers of people who had went over the years and invited this dear man to God in a revival service or in an altar call time, and Mr. Wilson never moved. Some of the best went and invited him. But that night, God spoke to his heart. And I watched in amazement as he knelt at that altar of prayer. There wasn't much emotion. There wasn't much sound, but he was praying. I don't think we were there 5 or 10 minutes. But he stood and gave a short testimony that God had forgiven his sin and he knew that he was a Christian. The blood. The songwriter said, I was in sin's prison. Oh, so dark and cold, like a lost sheep wandering from God's eternal fold. Then the door swung open. Jesus spoke to me. I have signed your pardon. You may now go free. Life is now worth living. Since I've been set free, I am glad he was willing to save a wretch like me. Now I own a mansion, not a prison wall. Jesus signed my pardon. Yes, he paid it all. Jesus signed my pardon. This I surely know. He took my place at Calvary. Now I don't have to go. All my life I give him. He gave his for me. Jesus shed his blood and signed my pardon. You and I, he did it for us at Calvary. I'm inviting you to stand this morning. And I'm asking you, is the blood applied? Is the blood applied? It's the only hope of your salvation. You can't work your way to heaven, friend. You can't reform your way to heaven. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, and your sin is standing between you and God. But on this Sunday morning, as our pastor leads us in an invitational hymn, you can have the blood applied. You can have your sins forgiven. Song number 483, I believe, is what he's lifting. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing blood? Saints, will you pray this morning? There are needs here. There are needs here. This altar's open.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Praise God.
Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed?
Praise God. Lift it together, congregation.
Are you washed?
Let's mind God, people. Let's mind
in
God.
In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are
is the blood applied to your heart this morning?
Are they white?
Are your sins forgiven? Why don't you come to Jesus with your sin?
Are you walking daily by the Savior's
Amen.
Side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
God help us.
Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed
Amen.
In the blood of the Lamb?
Amen.
Are you washed in the blood?
Do you know that your sins are forgiven this morning?
In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb.
You can know.
Are are your garments, spotless are they, white as snow. You washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Verse number 4.
Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean.
Thank God.
Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Are you washed
in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless?
No.
Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
No more singing, if you will, just play through it. We just bow our heads for just a moment. Give that one who's yet waiting an opportunity to step out without anyone looking on. I want my sins forgiven. I want to know that my heart is ready to meet my Lord. I believe there's at least one more this morning. I don't know who it is. God knows. Don't you want to be made clean? Don't you want your sins forgiven? To be able to rejoice and sing, "It is well with my soul." I want you to play it through one more time. Just one more time. This is it. I'm not into long altar calls, people. God's here. The Holy Spirit is dealing. Waters are troubled. Do you need to pray? Do you need to pray? God help us. Let's gather for prayer, church. Let's lift a volume of prayer. And if you have a need, bring your need with those who come to pray. Let's seek God for real victory. Amen. For real victory.